Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us tonight from the three readings that we heard from our bulletin, paying special attention on this last Lenten service to the words of Jesus from the cross, "It is finished," and "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It happened once a year, every year on the 10th day of the 7th month. No one was to work at all. Instead, they were supposed to do what God called afflicting your soul. What that really meant was no one was to work except one person, the high priest. He had crucial functions that day, important duties. And because he was the only one at work, it was clear that this day was all about what the high priest was doing. So he would go about his work on the 10th day of the 7th month. He was chosen by God to do this very action. And he didn't dress that day in the usual elaborate high priestly clothing. That day, all he wore was a simple linen robe. And strangely, he wore a simple linen robe to make a terrible mess. He would select a bull and sacrifice it so that he might be purified. So the bull's blood was shed so that the high priest's sins could be taken care of. Then he would select two goats, and the first he would sacrifice. The blood of this goat was shed for the sins of the people. And once those sacrifices were done, he would take the blood of the bull and the goat that he had saved and dare to enter the Holy of Holies, venturing into the presence of God. And there he would present the blood of the bull and the goat before the Lord, and he would cover various items in that blood. And he was in there making atonement for the sins of the people. Then the high priest would leave the Holy of Holies, go back outside to the one goat who was left. And he would place his hands on the head of the goat and confess over it the sins of all Israel. And in doing so, by speaking, he was placing all of the collective sins of the people on that poor animal. And once that had happened, the goat was sent out into the wilderness to wander around, never to be seen again. The scapegoat, that's where that phrase comes from, was taking their sins away. That happened once a year, every year, on the 10th day of the 7th month. It was a pretty gory way to worship. Throats were cut. Blood spilled out. It was collected and then poured out on other things. It was not the sort of thing that was attractive or enjoyable. Not the greatest way to get new members into your assembly. But it was necessary. These bloody sacrifices were a statement by God that there are fatal consequences for sin. And they were also a statement that there was a way for people to be forgiven. The chosen high priest would make these sacrifices. One goat would carry the sins of the people away. The other goat would be slaughtered. And in effect, his blood was used to cover over the sins of the people so that God could not see them and count them against the people. Thus, the Day of Atonement was called the Day of Covering, in Hebrew, Yom Kippur. But you know, it really wasn't the blood of the goat that did this. It was the greater sacrifice that was coming, to which all the animal sacrifices were pointing. And that greater sacrifice happened once. Not once a year, just once. And it happened while there was plenty of work going on in God's city of Jerusalem, because the Passover Sabbath was almost here, where no one can work. People were bustling on all sorts of tasks, and some Roman soldiers had drawn a pretty grisly duty themselves. They were overseeing the crucifixion of three men on a hill outside of the city. But although everyone seems to be about their own business that day, this day is really only about one. The one on the middle cross. The one who is the high priest for all of us. He began his day in a simple, humble linen robe, but that got covered in blood. That got stripped from him. Now he's hanging on a cross, wounded and bleeding, suffering for the sins of the world. And no matter how the artists depict it, this was a repelling scene, in no way attractive or inviting. It's far more upsetting to view what's happening to that man than the Old Testament Day of Atonement. But stop and look anyway. Because this is your day of atonement. As he hangs on the cross, Jesus is your high priest. He's the one who offers sacrifices on your behalf to God. And in an incredible paradox, he is also the sacrifice. He atones and covers your sin. His blood is what does it. And for his sake, God no longer counts your sins against you. He is the high priest. He is the sacrifice. And he is also the scapegoat. He carries our sins away. He carries our sins into the grave, never to be seen again. He will rise 3 days later, but our sin will not. Jesus is the sacrifice, not just for one day, but for every day. His heartbreaking work of covering every sin is now completely done. And that's why on the cross, the high priest and the scapegoat declares, "It is finished." And because it is finished, the son who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" is no longer forsaken. His very last words from the cross are, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he speaks those words clearly, for all to hear. After the blood loss, the agony, and the deep thirst, his voice remains loud and strong. This is not the normal way of dying. Death robs us of our strength and our abilities, so that at the very last we can whisper, if we can speak at all, "We are no match for the power of death." But Christ is. He cries out in a loud voice because death is not dragging Jesus to the tomb. Jesus is carrying death to his grave. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Then he breathes his last. Whichever disciples were still standing around are in near total despair. Though they don't know it just yet, there is hope. The Lord declares that the work is done. It is finished. As we've listened to the last words of Jesus from the cross during this Lenten season, we've seen how our Lord offers comfort in a variety of trying circumstances, in times of guilt, doubt, and uncertainty, in times of illness, suffering, in times of worry and persecution. And all of those things are consequences of sin, and they're all reminders of the greatest consequence of all, which is the wages of sin is death. The paycheck for self-centeredness and the breaking of the laws of God is death. So as we hear the words of our Savior just before He breathes His last, it's appropriate for us to talk about death. That dark enemy which lurks ahead for each of us. Unless Jesus returns first, we each face the certainty of dying. Sooner or later, the pronouncement will be made over each and every one of us. There's nothing else we can do for you. And it is then that the devil tightens the screws on even the most godly Christians, for it's his last ditch effort to persuade us to abandon our Savior. He haunts with thoughts of self-righteousness. He tries to distract people from the cross by whispering that they should trust their own goodness, or the evil inverse of that, that they haven't done enough good to earn God's favor and love. He generates fear in the Christian, which Martin Luther said was the worst part of dying. That fear can manifest itself in the form of anger directed at God, leaving the Christian ashamed at their outburst, or still at odds with God. And then the fear can work this way too. The fear of fear. The Christian can feel like, I shouldn't be afraid, and if I am afraid, maybe God won't accept me. Right at the end. What heartbreak. At such times, pray for the Holy Spirit's help to recall the truth. The truth of the devil is that he is a liar. He's the best at it. He makes those lies sound good and right, and he makes them sound like they came from you, and if they came from you, then they really must be right. But he's a liar. God says so. The Lord Jesus, on the other hand, always speaks the truth to you. He does not mislead. He does not spin. He speaks the truth so that you might live. Therefore, when you are tempted by the devil, if you are tempted in the very hour where it matters most, just speak the words of your Savior. Can you guess what those words are? It is finished. You do not have to wonder what must still be done to be certain of eternal life. There is nothing left for the baptized, faithful people of God. The Lord has done it all for you. The work of salvation is accomplished. It is a done deal. You never have to wonder if the Lord has some residual anger over sins that you've committed that He's clobbering you with here at the end. He's placed all of His wrath on His Son. And if He's placed all the wrath on His Son, there is none left over for you. It is finished. And should you think that you must not be afraid of death in order to be a Christian, repeat the words, "It is finished." The Lord has died for all your sins, which means all of your fears. He's made you His. And you know what that means? If you are a fearful child of God, you're still a child of God. That fear cannot touch you. Jesus said it. It's finished. Jesus is your high priest, your sacrifice, the one who is sufficient. There is nothing that can be added to what He's done. Your salvation is sure because the price is paid in full. And because it is, the Christian can pray, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Because it is finished, it's a simple thing to place ourselves in God's hands. When you see the commitment that He has made to you at the cross, it's easy. Now, the devil will howl. He'll chill your bones at times. But his howls about you and God are all lies. Lies that lost their hold at the cross. All that remains is the Word of God. As you live, as you die, listen to the words, "It is finished." You are completely covered in the love of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You've brought us during this season to the foot of Your cross. There's not a thing in us that deserves the price that You paid, the gift that You give, and that doesn't stop You from giving. It doesn't stop You from pouring out. That doesn't stop You from approaching us in grace. It is finished. You said it. There's nothing we can add to that. And what that means for us is a freedom of heart and soul that nothing else can purchase for us. No other accolades can touch that. Nothing else we chase after can possibly give the same comfort and foundation. The work of giving us a life with You that never ends, in which we know Your complete love is given to us as pure gift. Give us faith that treasures this. Thank You doesn't seem nearly enough to say. Lord Jesus Christ, in Your name we pray. Amen.